A very good morning to you all, and welcome to Newport on Tee Church of Scotland and to our Zoom service of this day, Sunday, 15th November 2020. We wish to welcome all those who may be worshiping with us this morning for the first time or doing so after a long while. And I would love to intimate that after the service, we would have breakout rooms. And if you have time and you are willing to stay back and have a chat with somebody, you would be most welcome. Before we begin the service this morning, one sad announcement. In the course of the week, we learned that John Fraser, one of our church members, passed on to glory. Let us remember John and his family in our prayers, that God will comfort them and bring them the hope which sees beyond the grave. Our call to worship this morning is from Psalm 46, the verses 1 to 7. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice, the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Let us worship God. And our first hymn, that beautiful song, the church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, our Lord. Let us pray. God, our Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for this day. We give you thanks for your care over us. We give you thanks for the strength to get out of bed and to engage in our day's activities. We thank you especially that we've come together this morning to worship and to glorify your most high name. God, our Heavenly Father, we pray that you would bless us in every way in our lives, and that in our spoken and in our speaking and listening to your word, you would enable us, O Father, not only to be hearers, but doers of the things you call us to do. And Father, I pray for any who have come to church this morning or to worship this morning with particular burdens in their hearts. You have asked us to bring our burdens to you so that you would give us rest. Lift up those burdens, those individual burdens especially, and give peace to your children. Father God Almighty, accept our worship. Forgive us the sins that we have committed against you and against fellow people, in what we have done and in what we have failed to do. Merciful God, our Heavenly Father, you do not cast us away, but you are willing always to receive us back to yourself. Give us your grace through Jesus Christ, our Lord. He taught us always to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our next hymn, Be Still, for the Presence of the Lord, the Holy One, is here.
Thank you. Our first reading this morning comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 62, verses 1 to 7. Isaiah chapter 62, starting at verse 1. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not remain quiet, till her righteousness shines out like the dawn, her salvation like a blazing torch. The nations will see your righteousness, and all kings your glory. You will be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will bestow. You will be a crown of splendour in the Lord's hand, a royal diadem in the hand of your God. No longer will they call you deserted or name your land desolate, but you will be called Hephzibah and your land Beulah, for the Lord will take delight in you, and your land will be married. As a young man marries a maiden, so will your sons marry you. As a bridegroom rejoices over his bride, so will your God rejoice over you. I have posted watchmen on your walls, O Jerusalem. They will never be silent, day or night. You who call on the Lord, give yourselves no rest, and give him no rest till he establishes Jerusalem and makes her the praise of the earth. Our second reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 5 to 13. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 16, starting at verse 5. After I go through Macedonia, I will come to you, for I will be going through Macedonia. Perhaps I will stay with you a while, or even spend the winter, so that you can help me on my journey wherever I go. I do not want to see you now and make only a passing visit. I hope to spend some time with you, if the Lord permits. But I will stay on at till Pentecost, because a great door for effective work has opened to me, and there are many who oppose me. If Timothy comes, see to it that he has nothing to fear while he is with you, for he is carrying on the work of the Lord, just as I am. No one, then, should refuse to accept him. Send him on his way in peace, so that he may return to me. I am expecting him along with the brothers. Now, about our brother Apollos, I strongly urged him to go to you with the brothers. He was quite unwilling to go now, but he will go when he has the opportunity. Be on your guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be men of courage. Be strong. Amen. And may God add his blessings to these readings from his holy word. Our next hymn this morning is Christian, Do Not Seek Repose.
Christian, do not seek repose. Cast your dreams of ease away. You are in the midst of foes. Watch and pray. Watch and pray. Wicked forces, evil powers, gathered in unseen array. They wait for your unguarded hours. Watch and pray. Watch and pray.
Put your heavenly armor on. Wear it always
night and day.
Ooh. To defeat the evil one.
Watch and pray. Said to watch and pray. Hear above all, hear your Lord. Love him, serve him, and obey. Treasure in your heart his word. Watch and pray. Watch and pray. Watch as if on that alone hung the issue of the day. Pray that victory.
country shall be one. Watch and pray. Watch and pray.
Let us pray. Father of grace and mercy, you desire that all people should be saved and come to the knowledge of your truth. We humbly ask you to give us and to all believers your Holy Spirit and your grace that your word may be spoken boldly and be heard and accepted throughout the world, until all people thank and worship you for the sake of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Be vigilant. Be vigilant. To be vigilant is to keep careful watch for possible danger. And I know that we are often vigilant in order not to miss out on something important or in order not to lose something that we want to preciously guard for our well-being and even for the good of others. So we want to be vigilant. We want to keep watching, surveying our environment carefully, because carelessness can be costly. The story is told of two friends who went to eat at a restaurant. At the door posting to the restaurant was a large sign which read, "Watch your coat and overcoat." Bobby was determined to keep an eye on his coat and kept turning every minute, almost choking on his food. His pal, Booba, kept on eating without thought of his own coat on the hook. Finally, Booba said, "Calm down. You can stop watching our overcoats." "I'm only watching mine," replied Bobby. "Yours has been gone for more than half an hour." The absent-minded and careless one had lost his overcoat, possibly to thieves, without noticing, because he was not watching or vigilant enough. In 1 Corinthians 16, 13 and 14, Paul breaks into his final instructions to the Corinthians by uttering five short imperative commands as his recipe for Christian fortitude in the face of attacks. Be watchful. Stand firm in your faith. Be courageous. Be strong. And let everything you do be done in love. Listen to that again. It's a wonderful text. Be vigilant. Be watchful, that is. Stand firm in your faith. Be strong. Be courageous. And let everything you do be done in love. Well, friends, Paul would not have made those commands if everything was going on well in Corinth. It seems to me behind those commands is a presupposition of some problem, some difficulty or challenge, some responsibility or temptation which makes those commands necessary. For example, be watchful or vigilant. Why? Because we have got enemies out there and we can't afford to relax our vigilance. Because if we do, these adversaries will overcome us. This is true because Christians have an arch enemy we usually refer to as the devil. And the Bible tells us that he is subtle, that the devil is wicked, he is unscrupulous, and he is very powerful. That is why the Apostle Peter could write in his first letter, be sober, be watchful. Be watchful because your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking for somebody to devour. Sometimes the devil attacks by frontal assault, in which case we can usually see him coming. At other times, and more often, he attacks from behind. He comes to us in disguise, in the clothes of a wolf, as Jesus puts it, and he creeps up unnoticed. When Christians are at their most vulnerable, when they are feeling discouraged and tired, and their guard is down, when they are quarreling and fighting each other, the devil can easily attack us. Now, friends, if that is the opponent that we are up against, we need vigilance because he will attack us when we are least expecting, and Christians are often very vulnerable. So how do we maintain our vigilance? By holding on to the truth, because the truth holds everything together. The deception of Satan falls down before truth. We have a truth that sees the big picture from the highest mountain top. Satan would have us think we are all alone, weak, guilt-ridden, and fearful, that the battle is over and lost. Nevertheless, our King Jesus speaks to us by the Spirit, reminding us of the gospel in his word. Our armor is held together by this belt of truth. All we think, do, or say is to be governed by God's truth. Without the belt of truth, Satan can easily strip us of our armor, making us useless and even defenseless. And then we need time for self-examination that will lead to the knowledge of what is wrong in our own lives, and will lead us forth to prayer so that we may overcome these things in future. Be vigilant or keep watching. Then the second command is for us to stand firm in our faith. It is not enough to stay awake and to maintain our vigilance. We have to stand firm, firmly planted against all the pressures to conform to the standards of this world. And this is important because we stand our best chance of leaving a legacy to those who want to learn from us, our children, and the world around us by standing firm. In matters of style, we can swing with the stream, but in matters of principle, we need to stand like a rock. And the Bible is full of principles that we need to follow. And if it means we have to swim against the stream of popular opinion to maintain the integrity of our faith, we need to do it and not to be like reed shaken with the wind of popular opinion. Stand firm in your faith. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, stability is a coveted quality in almost every sphere of life. And all of us admire people who have a stable character, a stable personality, and stable convictions, because unstable people compromise their standards and often end up discontented. As Chris Jami Kilosophy commented, most men either compromise or drop their greatest talents and start running after what they perceive to be a more reasonable success. And somewhere in between, they end up with a discontented settlement. Safety is indeed stability, but it is not progression. And you know, friends, when God reached down and saved us, he lifted us up out of the pit and set us on the rock. Jesus Christ is the rock. And he is a firm place to stand. He is the truth, and his word is truth. When your faith is challenged, remember that you stand on the rock of Jesus Christ. His word is a firm place to stand. Stand firm in your faith. Then the third command is to be courageous. Once again, the clear implication is that there is some situation that might be tempting us to be cowards. Maybe we are challenged by some heavy responsibility at home or at work, and we are tempted to be cowardly instead of being courageous. And Christians need courage today all over the world. We need courage to belong to what usually is a minority movement, the church. We need courage to refuse to be bullied into conformity to the crowd. We need courage to resist the pressure to subscribe to political correctness. And so how do we do it? First, by standing firm on some conscientious principle, some law of duty, such as the commandments of God. Next, by being faithful to the truth, to truth and right on small occasions and common events. And third, by trusting in God for help and for power. Be courageous. And then fourthly, be strong. Now, this is not in reference to physical strength. The Greek verb is in a particular voice that means not to be strong, but to be strengthened. In other words, there is in the verb a recognition of our weakness and an acknowledgement that the resources we need for Christian living are not to be found in ourselves, but in Christ. So what we need is to be strengthened by God's Spirit in our innermost being. It was this experience of inward strength that led Paul to write to the Philippians, "I can do all things through Christ who inwardly strengthens me." And the only way to be strong is to be strengthened by the grace of God through prayer. So prayer has an essential place in the life of a Christian. Be strong. And then fifthly and finally, or the last command is, let everything you do be done in love. Now, love is an essential ingredient in the Christian life. Love seeks the highest good and welfare of the people. It was, of course, to this Corinthian church that Paul wrote his great hymn of love in chapter 13, that if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am nothing. Nothing, says Paul, without love. So without doubt, the Corinthian church needed this message because the church was a divided one. They had developed these personality cults of different apostles. I follow Paul, I follow Apollos. And some of them were taking each other to court. Brother going to court against brother, and even in the presence of non-Christian judges. And then in 1 Corinthians 2, we learn that there were some of the Corinthians who were jealous of other people's gifts and others who were proud of their own gifts, and those two were bridges of the fellowship and love in the Christian community. Let everything you do be done in love. Here are five ingredients of the Christian life in quest of vigilance and against the devil. Be watchful or vigilant in view of the cunning unscrupulousness of our arch enemy. Stand firm in the faith against the pressures of false teachings in the church. Be courageous in the face of danger and discouragement and difficulty. Be strengthened in the grace that is in Christ Jesus and do everything in love. How do I finish this morning? What is it that you need to be vigilant about or against in your own life? I think one obvious one for all of us is to be vigilant to control the spread of COVID-19. at this critical time of the pandemic, with a death rate in the past week of close to 500 people dying, the European Respiratory Society and partners in the Forum of International Respiratory Societies urges people not to get complacent. Face masks or coverings should be worn at all times in public. We need also to be vigilant against bad government policies that promote evil in the land and limit the prospect of relationships that are necessary for the sustenance of humanity and human life. And then we need to stand firm against misleading theologies, such as the one which interprets the unconditional love of God as unconditional acceptance of one's lifestyle. God loves us unconditionally as he loves his son. But this does not mean that God is always pleased with our conduct, nor does it mean that God does not discipline us for our waywardness. Then we need courage to speak the truth and to stand out for the truth of the gospel, and to resist all forms of dehumanizing tendencies in our world. Finally, let all you do be done in love. What a great way to end 1 Corinthians, reminding us that love is the greatest of all spiritual things. We need real Christians in the church who are in love with Jesus Christ and with the brethren. May God give us faithful, vigilant, and loving, lovable Christians in our world. Let us pray. God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We pray for times, O Father, when we have been careless with our lives and even our spiritual lives, and we've fallen victims to the ploy of the evil one. Father, help us to be vigilant, to resist the devil, and to live for you and to live with you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Our next theme, stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross.
Israel to victory, Israel.
Let us pray. Let us dedicate the offering and let us thank God for our lives and for the world. Almighty and ever-blessed God, in your great goodness, you give us always more than we desire or dare to ask. Give us your spirit of thankfulness and love that we may always be willing, more willing to give than to receive, and so rule our hearts that all we have may be used for your service and we ourselves be consecrated to you. As we pray for the church and for the world, let us first thank God for the power of his love, which continually surrounds us wherever we are. God, our Father, Lord of heaven and earth, who made the world and everything in it, we give you thanks for the wonderful gift of life and all the pleasures that it brings us. We praise you for the joys of creation so evident in our world and the things that you've freely given us which we enjoy. We acknowledge that we are the children of your family and so we offer our grateful thanks for all the love which you bestow upon us, for good health and daily food, for the shelter and care of our homes, for the love of family and friends which surround us. We rejoice in the knowledge that Jesus is alive and lives in each one of us. May we show our allegiance, our commitment, and our love to him, and in doing so, receive his spirit in our lives. We pray that spirit will walk through us, helping us all to know you, to love you, and to do your will. We thank you for the power of your love, which manifests itself in so many ways. We thank you, Lord, now for the church of which we are members, the Church of Scotland, and for the Holy Spirit at work among us all. Be with those who lead us in our worship of you. We pray for your blessing on all who share with us in this church's life, that we may all grow in the knowledge of your love. We pray that as a congregation here in Newport, we may be aware of the needs of others. Help us as children of your family to respond to them by our understanding, by our support, and by the love which we show them. Father, we pray for your church throughout the world, that it may share to the full in the work of your Son, revealing you to men and women and reconciling them to you and to one another. We pray that Christians may love one another and their neighbors as you loved us, and that working together, they may bring peace to all people. We pray for all those troubled parts of the world where people are suffering as a result of fighting, of hunger, of disease, of losing their homes. Bring peace and hope, and above all, expressions of love into their lives. In particular, we think of those suffering from famine in parts of Africa, the Middle East, Asia, and even in Europe, and we pray that their distress may be delivered. We now pray for families in need. Despite our hopes and efforts, Lord, we fail and things go wrong. We pray for people who are suffering either from their own mistakes or from the mistakes of others. We pray for children separated from one parent and cut off from grandparents, for parents who see their children for only part of the week, for families who have many problems and lack hope, for husbands and wives who no longer find joy in each other, for families who face death, illness, or disablement and feel they cannot cope, for the unemployed who feel hopeless and unwanted, we hold them before you, Lord, for your healing love. Heavenly Father, we pray for our own families and those we know, for children growing up within them, those enjoying a break away from school, those awaiting results of examinations, those about to begin new lives away from home. Bless each and everyone, and may they all know your presence and feel your guidance in their lives as they face new demands and challenges. We pray for families on holiday that they will return feeling refreshed and reinvigorated, having experienced the love and joys of being together in a different location. We pray for those in need within our families, for those who are ill, whether in their homes or in hospital. We name them in our hearts and raise them to you, Lord. May they know your love, and in doing so, receive courage and strength in their time of need. And now we pray for the elderly, especially those unable to leave their homes. We pray for the lonely, especially those separated from loved ones. We pray for those who mourn because of the death of loved ones and for those who still miss the companionship and care of those dear to them. Jesus Christ is the light of the world, the light which no darkness can quench. We remember before God those who have died most recently. Remember now John Fraser and others we knew, whom we name in our hearts. Father, you turn our darkness into light. In your light, we shall see light. Finally, we pray for ourselves. O Lord Jesus Christ, stay beside us to defend us, within us to guide us, before us to lead us, behind us to guard us, and above us to bless us, that with you and in you, we may live and move and have our being forever and ever. Amen. Let us now affirm our faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Let's bring our service to a close as we sing When We Walk with the Lord.
Just stand up.
Go in peace and serve the Lord. The Lord bless you and watch over you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look kindly on you and give you peace.